This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
It's time for Emergence News on Plains FM 96.9, citizen-made radio.
Hello and welcome to Emergence News, coming to you from Plains FM in Christchurch. We're a group of volunteers who belong to the same meditation group, who talk about the emergence of the Masters of Wisdom and Maitreya, their leader, into our everyday world. These elder brothers of ours have the wisdom and experience to guide us into a glorious future that we can hardly imagine, but it is our destiny. The house cleaning that we need to do before this happens includes sharing the world's resources, addressing the climate change issue, and ending war. With me today are Shafia and John.
Hi.
Hi, Shafia. Now, what are you planning on talking about, Shafia?
I'm talking about women and war and the feminine principle.
Well, that'll be really good.
Hopefully, yes.
Excellent. And John, what have you got for us?
I've got a few tasty little snippets from a Benjamin Creme book. So some comments by the master and also one or two facts and figures gleaned from the World Wide Web.
Great. Fantastic. The future is locked in the process of man's thinking and planning. As man thinks and decides in his heart, so will the future of humanity prove to be. The whole of human history has been conditioned by the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, but slowly the weight of public opinion will move to the side of spiritual values, thus the renunciation of materialism and the growth of goodwill, which leads to the cleavages which must be bridged by human effort. We're certainly seeing a lot of the cleavages at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
The amazing thing today in the 21st century is that some people have this primitive lust for war. After all, we have been through two world wars. The economics of selling arms by the so-called civilized countries is a blot on the landscape of our world, as though we have never heard of the law of cause and effect. It will take the will of the Lord Maitreya himself to persuade these pariahs to just grow up and ban forever the manufacture and sale of armaments. Maybe we need to list the names of people making investments in the armaments. I see a need for a period where we need a strong UN to step into conflict zones and negotiate peaceful solutions. It is a time to end all conflict on this home planet of ours and seek to live in peace. As it is, I would like the armies of the world, they would take them many years to clean up the mess they have created with minefields and depleted uranium that is causing so many deformed babies. The words of Maitreya are the only reassurance that all will be well, all manner of things will be well. Okay, John, what have you got for us now?
Well, I went with the title War. What is it good for? And those of you that were around in Woodstock may remember a song that had that as a line in it. I looked at a few bits and pieces around this interesting phenomenon. Firstly, it's the biggest industry on the planet. And really, if you sell a gun, they're pretty robust things. You need to keep selling stuff because the gun itself won't break down. Well, it will do, but after many, many years. So if you sell someone a gun, you've therefore got to sell them some stuff to fire out of it and reload it with it. So it becomes a commercial endeavour. The arms manufacturers need war to fund their business and therefore their lifestyle. The top five arms exporters in the world, USA, Russia, France, Germany and China, supplied 3 in 4 weapons sold in the period 2014 to 2018. It's currently a growth industry, with Germany increasing sales last year by 13%, mainly thanks to submarines that they were selling around the world. This stuff's big, big business. The UK is number six in the arms export industry. Interestingly enough, and I've mentioned this before, the top five are also permanent members of the UN Security Council. Mm-hmm. No one, apart from us three in the studio, seems to see that as a little bit of a conflict of interest, because the Security Council is in the business of brokering peace. They're also in the business of selling armaments.
Do you know what happened recently in the UK?
No.
So they made it illegal to sell weapons to Saudi Arabia.
Yes.
And so they've since sold weapons to Saudi Arabia three times and said, oh, whoops, that was a bit of a mistake on our part.
One of the biggest purchases of weapons on the planet is Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
So really, as part of a business strategy, the arms industry needs to grow its business. Therefore, it needs to increase sales year after year. But for that, it needs the customer to use up or break or buy new stuff so that the industry can resupply. But of course, NIMBY applies here, not in my neighbourhood. So really, if you're an arms dealer, you don't want your biggest client shooting your stuff off in his backyard near your place. I suspect the Big Six, and maybe the Security Council, decide whether conflicts can develop into war and therefore fund it. I think they need a sandpit somewhere where their customers can blow stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, there's been a number of sandpits around the world where big countries have got together and shot stuff at each other. Therefore, the aim of war is not to end war, it is to perpetuate it at a manageable, economically sustainable rate. And that is a crime. That is a sin. Let's find out what the masters say. And I'm going back to a fabulous book by Benjamin Krem called The Great Approach. And this is an article back in 1999, and it was called The Hard Lesson by the master. And it's around the time of the Kosovo-Bosnia-Yugoslavian issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
Genocide.
Mm.
And now we've nearly always forgotten about that, haven't we?
We have. Yeah.
But it was such a bitter, protracted, violent struggle,
mm-hmm.
and yet few people would remember it. Anyway, here's what the master said. We, your elder brothers, are never advocates of war. But neither do we advocate a lame acceptance of genocide and human degradation. The world today is too fraught with dangers for such appeasement. From now on, the nations must plan ahead for such contingencies and let be known their will to act. The sentinel call for peace at any price is not our way. Capital letters. The path of love must also be the path of justice and sanity. The question arises, how to proceed to end a tragic episode in recent European history? Nothing less than the complete abandonment of this cruel endeavour of separation by the Serbian leadership should be acceptable under the rule of law. Otherwise, this evil adventure will inspire others to emulate its ambition and prove a constant threat.
So this is replicating in Israel now, isn't it?
Look, as with everything the master says, it's so topical.
Yeah, that's
because
right.
Because this is Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
all over, or Iraq, or Iran.
And
Syria.
In Israel,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. At Syria, yep.
Mm-hmm.
All sandpits.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little bit disrespectful, really, because mm-hmm. they're not sandpits. But there are places where Western civilization is not going to get damaged by the expenditure of our gear for war.
Mm-hmm. Except in the karmic field.
Except karmically,
and you can see all sorts of shootings going on in some of these major power suppliers, you know, arms suppliers.
Yep. Interesting, he goes on, and it's not often the masters kind of name the bad guys. The master goes on to say the return of the refugees and their rehabilitation is a major priority. The reconstruction of their torched and pillaged villages a daunting task. Same thing is happening in Syria.
Mm-hmm.
The Serbian people should be held responsible for the reparations required and thus, in some measure, manage their guilt. Huge loans will be needed by the Yugoslav Federation to enable them to meet these obligations and rebuild their own war-shattered homeland. They must be made to see the unacceptability of their nationalistic ambitions and the need to abandon a leadership which leads them so astray. That is so topical
mm-hmm.
around this issue of war and conflict globally. I'm going to finish off with another little point that he makes. Benjamin Krem has asked, why do the masters not prevent war? They do, he answers. They try very hard to prevent war. They tried very hard to prevent the First and Second World Wars. But they may not infringe humanity's free will. They try to work through world leaders. If a leader, like Gorbachev, for example, responds, then we can have the ending of the Cold War. But they can only do so much within the law of karma. Humanity's free will is sacrosanct and governs their actions.
And we're told that he actually appeared before Bush, didn't he?
Before Saddam Hussein, yeah. Yes.
And they refused to listen.
They refused his counsel, yeah.
Yes. Mm.
Krem goes on to say, we have the right to do anything up to the point of destroying the planet. We could destroy ourselves, but not the planet. However, this is a message of hope. Maitreya knows already that we will accept the principle of sharing and therefore create justice and peace. Maitreya has not come here to waste his time and to go back into the Himalayas. He is here to stay and for the whole of the Aquarian age. So there's an element, it's a spiritual element around defending the realm.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a spiritual element around policing the planet.
Mm-hmm.
But his comments around if you don't deal with this behaviour, it will occur again, is incredibly topical.
Yeah,
and we're seeing it all over the planet.
And so we really do need to get rid of the Security Council, don't we, so that other countries can come in and say and vote for this.
Because they veto the humanitarian actions of the United Nations in the name of so-called global security.
Mm. Yes.
But it is a contradiction because they are in the business of selling the instruments that allow global conflict.
And I see United Nations is $2 billion behind in as far as the peacekeeping bill.
And its earnings.
Yep. Yeah, $2 billion.
Mm.
You know, they're not in the business of having peace at the moment.
No,
and so much of the American budget is on war. It could actually solve poverty and starvation around the world.
Yeah.
Just a mere fraction of it, really.
Yes. Mm. Now, I'm just going to finish with another idea from Benjamin Krem. He talks about that it's the individual inner turmoil, the inner war, that eventually manifests as an external war. So that war on this planet, apart from it's a commercial exercise, is an expression of how we relate to ourselves, dictating therefore how we relate to others.
Mm-hmm.
So war is an acceptable external concept for us because we are aware of the internal conflict we have ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Krishnamurti also picks up on that idea of if we had no war internally, we wouldn't have war externally.
So right. True.
Thank you, John.
This is the Emergence News on Plains FM. For more information, go to shareinternational.org.
So, kia ora koutou. As the only woman on the team, I thought we could look at what a feminine response to war could look like and how it could bring the required changes needed for the world to live in peace and harmony together. I'd just like to give a little quote from Benjamin Krem in Maitreya's Mission Volume 2. And he says, the coming age is the age in which the mother principle will come into its own. The age of Maitreya is the age of Tara, the world mother. The mother nourishes the child, nourishes the family, and the female principle nourishes the civilization. For that reason alone, the female principle must be given its full expression. That means that all women must have full and equal human rights with men. True democracy really means participation of all members of the group. Full participation is the future aim of all countries. Only in this way can every human being grow to his or her full potential, participating in decision-making and action to transform the world through a change of consciousness.
Mm.
It's good, isn't it? Age of Tara.
Yes.
Yes. But first of all, I'd like to just tackle a question that we're often asked because it relates to the fact, well, if the masters are so keen on the age of Tara, or, you know, and the feminine principle coming forward, why are all the masters presently in male bodies? And it's one we get asked quite a lot. So the one fact to remember is that we are all here as souls and we're having a human experience and we have no gender as such.
Mm.
However, the Earth School gives us the opportunities to experience opposites. So, you know, we wouldn't know what light was if we didn't experience darkness. It is a world of duality and has been designed to further our evolution. As we have said before, we incarnate on Earth many thousands of times before we graduate, and over the eons of times that takes, we inhabit both male and female bodies, choosing the one that best suits our purpose at the time for incarnating. The male energy is the positive charge, linear in effect. It is the energy for seeding, for initiating, for lighting the fire of creation, whereas the female energy is magnetic, receptive, all-embracing and nurturing. When they work in harmony, each fulfilling their part as equals, you get the creative manifestation of their united energies. This is beautifully expressed in the birth of new life. The male gifts the seed and the woman nurtures and grows the baby in her womb, hopefully and ideally with support and protection surrounding her. So the masters are here, seeding new ideas, initiating projects by inspiring receptive minds and acting as supportive protectors while we get on with the work of creating a new world. Now, from the Sufi wisdom, they see the fact that because humanity is immersed in matter, that they are the feminine principle, whether you're in a male or a female body. Mm-hmm. And we receive the seeding and the energy from spirit or from God or from creator or the intelligence, whatever you want to, and we then nurture it and grow it. This is a bit of a somewhat simplistic explanation to a vast subject that is probably beyond most of us at this time. The important thing to remember is that the masters are not promoting patriarchy and that they see gender choices as serving the purpose of the time. They are doing their part to seed, inspire, support and protect. But it is humanity, the feminine principle, which will nurture and grow the new golden age. Incidentally, Benjamin Kramer stated that the master, who is known as the Madonna, will be the first master to incarnate in a female body in around 200 years from now, which is an indication that the world will be in a much more balanced and settled space. So if we look at war and women, we only have to look at history to see that there have been many female warriors in the past. In my admittedly limited knowledge and understanding of war, it seems that the difference between men and women in war is that men are often motivated by conquest and glory, while women are motivated to defend what is precious and important to them. Mm-hmm. So two famous examples which show this is one is Boadicea, who was the queen of the British Iceni tribe, who led an uprising against the occupying forces of the Roman Empire. When it failed, she died shortly after, apparently having poisoned herself rather than submit to the Roman rule. She is considered a British folk hero and the warrior queen. Joan of Arc is another example. She was a simple, pleasant girl who became a warrior woman after having visions from the Archangel Michael, St. Margaret and St. Catherine, instructing her to support Charles VII and recover France from English domination. Most people will know that she was victorious in battle, but was captured and burnt at the stake at the age of 19. She was later canonized as a saint and martyr. Interestingly, Benjamin Kramer says that she is now a master and preparing to return to France in a male body.
Mm.
As a Ray 5 soul, he will be working in the scientific field. And we're also told that France is destined to be the country to scientifically prove the existence of the soul. So I'm guessing that maybe she or he would be guiding that particular discovery. Who knows?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Mm.
Here in New Zealand, we also have many stories of Māori women, wives, sisters and grey-haired grandmothers accompanying their men in the field, carrying ammunition, food and sometimes carrying a gun. Hini Pore was one who fought on the government side, and it was commented upon that she fully earned a medal and a war pension, if such rewards were ever given to women, which they weren't, of course. So it seems that war has been part of human evolution for millennia and is ingrained in our culture and psyche. Overcoming our need for war will take many factors. Stopping creating wars for money and profit probably being the biggest one presently, which is what you've both been talking about.
Yeah.
However, with women in more positions of power and influence, that instinct to protect what is precious rather than conquer and control would have, I believe, a huge impact on foreign policy and where we channel resources. How many mothers want to send their beloved children into harm's way?
Mm.
We know that the masters are acting as a stimulus for the women's movement and have stated that women will be at the forefront of bringing this new golden age into being. And we are witnessing it happening. It's exciting to see so many young female leaders emerging around the world. We see them winning support in the political arena. And governments around the world have more women in positions of power than ever before. The women are also at the forefront of galvanising millions to demand environmental protection initiatives. It sometimes seems to me that young girls in their teens are in the majority in leading in this area. Have you seen the many around when I went to the climate march in Christchurch? It was all the young girls who were standing up and giving the talks and showing that passion and leadership, you know. So women's voices can be found growing in strength and influence in every human field and endeavour, which is wonderful to witness and gives me great hope for the future.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Shafia.
Thank you, Shafia.
The End of Chaos, one of the Master's messages from Share International. When one looks at the world with a clear eye of knowledge, there is revealed to that discerning gaze a view altogether different from that held by most observers. To the vast majority, this is a world in chaos, characterized by war, flood, and pestilence. Terror reigns in the hearts of millions. To be sure, the world knows all of these catastrophes, and many suffer grievously as a result. But behind the terror and pain, there is a growing sense of hope that things will change for the better. And this period is interim and will not last forever. Thus it is in many areas where the turmoil is greatest, the hardship most acute, and the most difficult to bear. Behind it all, behind the endless and mindless destruction, this world is emerging from a dark and dream-filled sleep, the awakening from which is difficult and traumatic in the extreme. New and powerful energies are stirring humanity to action as never before. And as always, in such a situation, the first responses are mixed, chaotic and destructive, followed by a new and higher rhythm, which gradually imposes itself on the whole. We who look at life beyond the outer forms and events know with certainty that this difficult period has all but run its course, that the stability and calm yearned for by so many is almost at hand, and that humanity is wakening, refreshed and renewed from its long dark night. Thus is the world now ready for the response and the reappearance of the Christ. Thus are men now ready for that which he has to give. When he came before through his disciple Jesus, men were unready to respond to his teachings. Today, through centuries of suffering, education and experience, are men prepared to understand and act upon his precepts. As preceptor does he come, as teacher, not saviour, does he fulfil his mission. Soon the one for whom the world awaits will emerge and present himself for all to see. Soon men will engage in a dialogue with their higher selves and make their choice to live and or die. Thus is being enacted the great drama of this time. Little though men may know it, the end is known from the beginning, and they may well be assured of the final triumph of reason and truth. Maitreya will use as a signal the collapsing stock markets, the gambling halls of greed. Then will he enter, openly, the arena of the world and state his ease and his case for justice and freedom, sharing and common sense. While my men take stock of themselves and their priorities, their aspiration and values, for on their coming decision lies the future of the world, the well-being of humanity, and their immediate role in the plan of God. We, the watchers, your elder brothers, await with confidence and joy your just decision and future glory.
All this information can be found on the Share International website, www.share-international.org. Scorpio Books in Christchurch carries the magazine and some books. And also don't forget the podcasts, which are available on the Plains FM website.
We welcome your comments, questions and feedback. Please contact us at emergencenews@gmail.com.
The opportunity to join our transmission is available Monday and Wednesday evenings and Thursday mornings, which gives us the possibility to do a service meditation in conjunction with the Masters.